Episode is just hacking coffee. Mm-hmm. How many times, James, how many times do we have to walk down this podcasting road mm-hmm. that we're on? And at any given time, just horrendous guttural noises followed by the wet smack of phlegm mm-hmm. against a surface.
On mic mouth noise.
It's mm-hmm. horrendous.
Absolutely wonderful.
Horrendous.
More, please.
Hey, James.
Yes.
Any historical figure, live or dead, if you could kind of like keep your sentience in your own inner monologue, mm-hmm. but just live every moment of the life of somebody. Like if you could go through someone's entire life and see what they saw, but still have your own like inner, like a parasite.
No, I got you. Just like, you'd just be like the little... You know, in head
yeah,
camera.
Like, you can't affect anything.
Yeah, but you can see what they're thinking. God damn.
Yeah.
Wow. You can't just drop that on a fella. I got to give a man a few minutes to think there.
Because I was thinking about it, and mm-hmm. I mean, there's any number of answers. There's, you know, like, Adolf Hitler would just be an interesting person to, like, hey, what the fuck was your life?
Mm. Yeah, nah, I don't need to know that.
Well, no, I know, but it'd be just a strange, interesting thing. Or, you know, you could go the other end and be like, ah, I don't know, Ted Nugent, he seems like he had fun.
I was like Lemmy, man.
Yeah, Lemmy, like, he seems like he had a good time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, man, now that's a heavy, heavy question, homie.
Or like Richard Nixon.
Oh, yeah, or LBJ, homie.
Yeah.
Cause that
or
guy
even
was...
back, like, I mean, if you really want to think about it, like, see what Genghis Khan was up to.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because, I mean, you would see some shit.
Mm-hmm. Or like any of the, like Hannibal or Alexander the Great or any of those. Wow.
Yeah.
Or I don't know, the head designer for the pyramids.
I was just thinking, like, that would just be an interesting thing that after you die, like, hey, do you want to live this other lifetime as this other person? I mean, you still get to be you, but you just, like, watch it like a movie.
You'd be sitting there eating popcorn.
But it'll take, like, 80 years, but here's the deal, you have literally forever.
Can you imagine just eating popcorn, going, oh, no, you didn't? Just yeah, be the just, inner monologue.
Or just, you know, after, like, six rounds of doing interesting people, like, just make me, like, a fucking surf in France and... 1487.
How do you know we don't got little passengers right now, man?
No, exactly, which would be just an interesting concept.
Oh, man, because we'd be somebody's, like, slum life. Man, I lived all these great lives. Just give me a regular old shitty life.
Yeah.
Man, fucking James. Put James online.
Yeah. Like, man, this guy sucks.
Yeah, goddamn.
This is both really boring, horrifying, and just, God, he jacks off a lot. And I'm tired of this.
And this fucking podcast, Jesus Christ.
When
give
are
it
they
a rest.
Going to give it up? It's terrible. Terrible content.
I think sometimes...
And they don't stop.
I think sometimes their voice, they're there and the voices are actually bleeding into my head.
They've brought other people in on this. Why? Why are they effectively ruining lives? It's ridiculous. And speaking of, hey everybody, welcome to Horror Vomit, where we talk about horror movies so you don't have to. My name is Chris Pfaff, and I'm one of your hosts.
And I'm James Marino. I'm the other one of your hosts.
And we are continuing, I think, on our last legs of the old Peter Cushing journey.
Oh no, I gotta dig for a good Cushing one.
No, I mean, just as far as our little adventure, I think
yeah,
three's plenty.
Three's good.
We can get back onto some other shit after that. But we're finishing up our Peter Cushing trilogy with 1977's Shockwaves.
Mm-hmm.
Written by John Kent Harrison and Ken Widerhorn. Also directed by Ken Widerhorn.
Mm-hmm.
Did you happen to look at any of his filmography at all?
No, I did not.
Oh, man.
Do tell.
There was a Meatballs 2...
There, oh my God, the one with the alien meatball in it?
I don't know. Not a clue. There was another like sequel that I didn't know existed kind of thing. Not a very prolific career. It's kind of sad.
Well, you know, he did a couple too, which is more than anybody else gets to do.
Yeah, that's fair. Starring Brooke Adams as Rose, Luke Halpin as Keith, and the aforementioned Peter Cushing as Scar.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, James.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, how'd you like Shockwaves?
Kind of half-assed liked it, man.
Yeah, me too.
It was stupid.
It's real dumb, but it's a breezy hour 25.
And if you think about it as, you know, a film student's first outing that had a tiny bit of a budget, what they put on screen with what they spent.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing they spent about half of it on old Pete.
Yeah. Here's the deal. It feels like it was made in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
It feels a lot like Zombie.
Yes, yes, yes.
It feels a lot like, not Mistress of the Dark, Messiah of Evil.
Yes, yes.
It feels a lot like that. The kind of movie that almost only could exist in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that aesthetic
to it. Well, it's because there was still, before VCRs and stuff, there was still a market. What do you want to do? I don't know. Let's spend the day at the theater. You go, you could watch, you know, a couple of cartoons. You go out and, you know, fuck around, come back, watch a grindhouse movie, another one.
Uh-huh.
They still had drive-ins that, you know, had to fill the screens. So this is absolutely the kind of movie that could be made there.
This is a perfect Friday night drive-in movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is absolutely perfect for that bullshit.
Well, this has been a long time. Remember, we used to talk about this would be a great movie to put on in the back if you have a Halloween themed party.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what's on because the music's blasting, but you have that on the TV. So when you just walk up, you just randomly see bug fuck shit.
But it does have the one problem that I think you and I both have with films is using Nazis as entertainment.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a bummer.
But they didn't do things that, okay, I was going to make this point later, but since you brought it up, I don't like it when they glorify, you know, they glorify Nazis or try to make them look cool in any way, shape, or form. And at no time did any of these, the droopy, shitty uniforms, just fucking sodden, just ripped up and shit, they did not glorify it at all. And it wasn't so much about being Nazis, but being killing machines created by Nazis. Does that make a difference?
Yes and no. Yes. Mm-hmm. I give things from this era a little bit more credence.
Yeah, this is a 70s past. This is not a, like right now I'd be like, fuck you and fuck your Nazis.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, but again, when I speak about this, I'm speaking about it through, I'm watching a 70s movie. And they've done it differently. They took what's been done, because they've made more movies with Nazi zombies, right?
Yes.
But they tried to make them look cool, and you're hella killing machines and blah, blah. No, these are just kind of dopey, droopy, I'm just going to drown you. I'm going to throw you into some sea urchins. These superhuman killing machines.
Yeah.
They just pull you under slowly.
And it's from that era where, again, in 1977... a lot of people either lived through or were born to people who very much lived through World War II.
Mm-hmm.
So using Nazis then as like a, oh shit, they could have come back, and especially at this time.
Oh yeah, we'll take a look at all the movies that were coming out. The Boys from Brazil. What was the one with Dustin Hoffman? Is It Safe, you know, drilling his teeth?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, because again, they had found Nazis in Argentina, alive.
Uh-huh.
And it was a very real fear. I mean, think about up until... when was the last time you thought of communists as an actual threat?
Never once.
Again, I'm a little older, and I was raised to have that fear because I was raised by Vietnam era. And then they were raised by either, you know, World War II or Depression. So the very real fear of a foreign threat, I was actually literally afraid of actually being attacked by a Rush up until about 87, 88. And, well, I was still kind of afraid, but I was in the military. I was afraid of everything, you know? Mm-hmm. And anytime anybody farted sideways politically, I'm like, are we going to mobilize? Fuck me, running.
And here's the thing about using the Nazis as entertainment, especially in this venue. The only person who is even kind of a Nazi that gets lines is Peter Cushing.
Mm-hmm.
He never once says Heil Hitler, never gives in to any of the Nazi-isms. In fact, it's more along the lines of, I had to bring these super soldiers to this island so that they would not kill people.
And that was the intimation that I got, because I was listening to it, and I did the one thing I've never done for any movie. I watched that motherfucker the minute I had a chance to. So I had actually had time to think about it, let it seep in my head. And then I did a little reading about it. And then I watched about half of it again, the parts that I didn't really pay attention to. And I'm like, holy shit, I actually remember this entire movie.
Yeah.
Not that it's a difficult movie to remember, but the details of it, like you said, about the portrayal, yes, they're bringing that very real threat at that time. The best quote I've read about this movie, and there was only like three reviews I saw, and they were all pretty much the same review. But one of the quotes that I saw, it was like a Fulci zombie movie without boobs and gore.
Yeah.
And the difference between this and almost every zombie I've ever seen is it wasn't an eating. There wasn't flesh ripping. It was a slow, inevitable pull under the water.
Because I believe technically these aren't even zombies in the traditional sense.
Yeah, they're more like X-Men.
Mutants.
Yeah, mutant soldiers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Project X.
And here's the thing. And this is why I kind of wanted to do this thing about Peter Cushing. Hmm. He is so fucking good. That scene where he is explaining to the party that shows up mm-hmm. that, you know, well, in Germany, we started this program. And he basically gives you a very surface level explanation.
Hello, I'm Basil Exposition.
Well, exactly. And he's explaining to them, like, why they need to leave, that these are killing machines. And I had to bring them here because the war was over. And what was I going to do with these killing machines? He's giving you a very basic overview.
Mm-hmm.
But just the way that Peter Cushing acts, you know that there's a whole story in there that he has created for his character. Mm-hmm.
Especially when he said, you need to leave.
Exactly. And that's the other weird part about, I don't think he necessarily wanted to be a Nazi commandant.
Right.
Because it was supposed to be the German High Command.
Right.
Which leads me to believe that he was part of the military previous to the Nazi, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say no to the Nazis, so he was part of the Nazi party by proxy.
Right.
Really didn't care for it.
And that's all intimated, but again, we've talked about this in many other movies. They have, if they're going to introduce something that's unpalatable, they have to give you a reason to be allowed to watch it.
Yes.
Because if any moment I get that horrible, icky feeling, I'd have been calling you saying, I can't fucking do this movie, homie.
Exactly.
But it managed to just give you enough. And I think it's 100% Cushing that made it okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think in lesser hands, I would have been like, fuck this movie.
Yeah. And just the way that he feels like he's giving you the broad strokes mm-hmm. of a much, much deeper, much more sinister goings on that... It's so strange to hear him flat out tell them, like, you need to leave. If you don't leave, I will shoot you on sight.
And what I loved about that performance, Chris, is that when he did that turn, because prior to that, he was very stern, but he was emoting through that sternness in that weird English way.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they pushed a little further, he turned quick, like, no, you're fucking going.
Yeah.
Like, I'm strapped, homie. You're fucking getting off my set. What's up?
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, I was scared. I wasn't even in the room, but when he pulled that gat, I was like, oh, dear.
Exactly.
Fuck me running.
And he's so fucking good that even at his age, he is still booking ass through some swampy-ass marshes.
And... Yeah, and the funny thing is, if you looked at him in this movie, right, and back to 58, his... body shape hadn't changed. It's like he got any bigger or smaller. He was almost exactly the same.
It looks like his cheeks had filled out a little.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have quite the sharp angles in this one.
Well, that could have just been lighting, too.
Exactly.
But, and what I really enjoyed about that performance, too, is that heel turn was so quick and so chilling. And he didn't have a whole lot to work with. He had zero to work with. Most of his scenes was him wandering.
That's what I'm
looking saying. At things, wandering, making disappointed faces. He was emoting through his face without barely moving it. Again, I fucking love Cushing for that.
And like I said, there's such bare bones story that he even is explaining to the party
mm-hmm.
that it the way he tells it feels like he developed, you know, 15, 20 pages on his own of just stuff that, like, well, no, this is how this went. This is how my character. It feels like this madman who ended up on this island and is legitimately terrified of these weird super soldiers.
He said they stopped listening to me.
Yeah.
They no longer take orders. You might not want to fucking be here.
Yeah. And in fact, even tells them, there is this boat. Here is exactly where it is. You go exactly this direction. There is an inhabited island.
Mm-hmm.
You go there now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like now, now.
It went from asking them to leave to explaining why they should leave to fucking pulling a gat on them.
Uh-huh.
And I love that. Even walking, like I said, just half of the movie was just him walking, looking at things, going back, doing kind of nothing. Just got that face, just pacing.
No, on the other end of the spectrum, there's a lot of this movie that doesn't make any fucking sense and is just weird and silly.
I would like to add one other thing.
Yes, please.
You've only seen three Cushing movies for the reason Cushing's in it. And in no one of these movies was he in that movie for more than 20 minutes.
Oh, that's fair.
So we saw about a movie worth of Cushing acting.
Yeah. I mean, what do you want from me? I just picked three at random. Fuck you.
No, I'm just thinking, man, he gets paid to have his name on a whole thing, right? He's in it for 20 fucking minutes.
Uh-huh.
And from the beginning, not from like the end of his career, but not, you know, like the middle of his career till the end. He's like, man, 20 minutes. He's like Chuck Berry. Shows up, acts, gets paid in cash and a suitcase and goes the fuck home.
Uh-huh. Chain smoking the entire time. Mm-hmm. I think this might be the only movie where we don't see him just absolutely chain smoking.
You're right. I think he couldn't by that time.
Yeah, that's a very fair observation.
That's maybe why his cheeks had filled out a little.
He is an old man in this movie.
And from what I understand, because, you know, I don't know how accurate that shit is, but this guy got out of film school and got funding and made this movie. I don't know how the fuck he managed to secure Cushing for any reason with this ridiculous script, but could have been that they were filming in Florida and he happened to be at the Palm Beach, whatever.
Yeah.
I said, hey, we got a truckload of money. I got this much money cash. Can you come in and film for a day? It's going to be kind of shitty and hot, but, you know, I'll give you, you need the script for 2 days? Sure, come on. We'll hold up filming. Come on in. You know, I think that's probably how they got him, because I can't think any other way for this movie to have gotten him.
Oh, and I couldn't imagine. In 1977, obviously, I don't think the A-Team had been out yet, but immediately when this starts with, like, the Nazi A-Team explanation, like, what the fuck is this? Why is Peter Cushing in this?
Oh, God, he'd be the George Papard. Oh, God. And they all look like Harbor Freight. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
But I do like the setup, though, that it's John Carradine has taken a group of people.
I completely fucking forgot, because I was just thinking about Harbor Freight, Rutger Hauer, and fucking Cushing's amazing performance, and I forgot John Carradine's bony ass was trotted out one more fucking time. 77 to 81 was a great year for Carradine before his liver fucking exploded.
Yeah, man. He is just a drunken, gruff seaman, and it is the best.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder if he got paid extra to have his little bony ass hang out under the boat.
And just explaining to this new fair-haired, hotshot seaman that the job that we do is to navigate, so navigate!
Oh, God. The only thing I could think of when I saw that, the seaman guy, and this is just going to be a weird pull, so just bear with me, you probably never saw the movie, but there was a movie called Prefontaine about this guy in prison who ran the first 4-minute mile, and it looked exactly like this guy, and I was just like thinking, Prefontaine, this whole fucking movie. There's one person in this entire world that will get this reference, and I'm sorry I had to trot it out.
I'm pretty sure I've seen Prefontaine.
Got the same mustache.
What a boring-ass movie that was.
Well, it was one of those, I was a latchkey kid, and it was on.
Oh, I'll bet it was.
On the reg when I came home, so it was either that or have to read or something.
So they get lost at sea because apparently there's a ghost ship that's fucking around with their navigation, and then just a straight up yellow filter.
Oh God, yes.
For no reason. I have no idea what any of the beginning of this movie is supposed to be.
I don't know, but because of the way they filmed underwater and the pools and everything, it was giving Poseidon Adventure.
It is 100%. We got these underwater cameras in some boats. How do we tie this in with our weird Nazi zombie story?
I don't know. Irwin Allen rented out his equipment for about 6 weeks in Florida for this movie to be made. Oh, man, because because that was the time disaster movies were out, too. My parents used to drag my ass out to go see Earthquake and Towering Inferno and shit. And with the scenes in the underwater, it was exactly that.
Hell yeah, dude. So we see the gigantic ghost ship clip the side of their boat, and they wash up on shore. John Carradine's missing.
Yeah, because he was too drunk to film that day.
Exactly. Who's the fucking?
You know how they got the shot of him under the boat? He had passed out, and they just filmed him before they fished him back out.
Yeah, sure, man, sure. So. Don't you fucking make faces at me. Get on with the goddamn podcast then, James. You do it. You do it. No? All right, just going to give me the finger and crack up laughing, you piece of human garbage. So I really love that they just wash up on this enormous palatial estate. And while exploring this, what was it, an old hotel? It looks like somewhere in the Caribbean. Like one of the old hotels that would have been set up by like the Vegas mob.
Yeah, it's like parts of the old Flamingo.
Exactly. But there's just palm fronds and everything everywhere.
Well, just ran. But it's not too messy because I think they would have had to pay extra, but there was bric-a-brac strewn.
Yes. Yeah. And that's where we finally get Peter Cushing like in the darkness, like, why are you here? Yeah.
The fuck are you doing here?
So one of the things that I'm getting back to just the use of Nazis.
Oh, yeah.
I love that they didn't let them speak.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that is one of the things that drives me nuts is even giving Nazis dialogue really irritates me. Because another sort of like Nazi mutant. Have you ever seen Overlord?
No, I chose not to, I think.
Yeah, it's Wyatt Russell, Kurt Russell's kid.
Yeah, but I saw some of the imagery and I'm like, oh, fuck no.
It's fine. It's fine. It is clearly, like, there's some interesting things about it.
Okay.
It's clearly set in, like, an alternate universe because there is an integrated U.S.
I know. I've read those books before. I fucking, meh.
Yeah, and it's fine. But they give the Nazis, like, the over-the-top evil dialogue in their actions. Like, yeah, we all get it. Nazis are bastards. Fuck you. Just don't do this in general.
Right.
But in giving these Nazi zombies no lines, no dialogue, and barely any close-ups, really.
And only one purpose, not to kill a specific, but to kill. That's it. It's not like I'm going to specifically look for people like James to kill. No.
Exactly.
It's just, are you here? Yes, you are dead. Are you in the water? Easy and better.
Bloop. No. One of the things that I really, really like about this, like, creature design, they're very easily defeatable.
Yes.
They're effectively putties from Power Rangers, where, like, you just disable one very obvious spot, and they are done for.
Yep. But we have no idea of the numbers. It's never intimated. Sometimes it seems like there's, you know, like, as many, you know, hundreds of them, or there's only five. Mm-hmm. You can't tell. Which I think is good filmmaking on this gentleman's part. Because how many guys can you train to stand underwater? How many uniforms can you ruin because that's seawater? So, you know, that's, again, I think that's probably why the uniforms weren't better.
And it's one of the things that I really like, too, is kind of like real Nazis, one-on-one, you can fucking take one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
The only power that they ever have is in their numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're only ever attacking innocent, unarmed people.
Yep.
As soon as anybody has any sort of defense, they run away.
Hell yeah. And it's not like they're propagating either. And that's why the threat is different. That's a manageable threat. It's a crazy threat, and it might take 100 years to kill. But it is manageable. You can find a way to defeat that because they're not creating more like the traditional zombie threat. So it's, yes, all the zombies are going to die out, but they're going to make more.
And that was one of the other things that I find really interesting about just this as a them as a villain is they're clearly aging.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're not like an immortal threat. They're not these super soldiers that are going to last for 1,000 years.
Yeah, you can start seeing ripples around the mouths and where, you know, the sea life had probably eaten them because they're not, they look sluggish enough that they can't fight off a fish.
And they look visibly older.
Yes, yes.
They're not young men.
And so, you know, The underwater effects, I used to go, you ever see water shows? Like, you used to go to the Wisconsin Dells every once in a while.
No.
They'd have underwater shows in big tanks, and then they have the water ski shows. And
uh-uh.
Well, it reminded me of those underwater shows where the people are walking around underneath and, you know, doing old West routines underwater. And I was laughing so hard because if I had not seen this, it would probably have been cooler. But I just remember, you know, shoot gunfights underwater and stuff, and it made me laugh so hard.
And, I mean, It is a really, like, intimidating shot when you see all of them just start popping out of the
yes.
water.
The slow reveals coming up, especially, what was the one? It was almost twilight. It was starting to get dark.
Mm-hmm.
And the sun, I mean, because it was gorgeous. They were shooting, what, Florida?
I have no idea.
I think they were shooting out by Miami Beach, actually. But you get that beautiful Florida sunset, and then the guy coming up, and the lagoon, and the green and behind. And even with the grainy shit that we were watching, that's just scary.
Oh, man. In the shots they got of this water, I was wondering where they were filming it. Because mm-hmm. it looks like they are just fucking gliding across glass. Like,
yes.
It looks incredible.
It does. When I will tell you the other... it was of an era, it looked like all like the second or the secondary characters on Three's Company were the leads in this movie.
Uh-huh.
It's like if they came to visit Mr. Roper one time and the, you know, the sporty guy tried to pick up the girls, you know?
Yeah.
I was dying with those. I mean, I think it's because I'm of an age and I grew up on all that of that era. I was watching TV at that time. I was going to movies at that time. So when I watch it much hipper now, it is so laughable to me.
And I really love that, like, they kind of had to shoehorn in some things,
mm-hmm.
but it was done fine.
Such
like,
as?
Showing shots of the sea urchins
mm.
previous. And then for no reason, the drunkard on the ship decides that he needs to take his shoes off in the middle of this strange island that they found.
Of course, because, you know, the first thing I do every time I get near strange water, and especially Navy training, as soon as you get in strange water, take off your shoes and walk around blindly.
Yes.
It's always the smartest thing to do.
Every single time.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that dude's just constantly hammering booze. And even, like, other members of the party are commenting on it. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, man, you seem to be drinking a lot.
Well, as a ship's cook, a military ship's cook, it's very true. Yeah, constant inebriation at all times.
Look good.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you, honestly?
I'm just saying, so I think it was great representation.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Aren't you glad I shared that with you?
Yeah.
Should put that in a Bible, end it with
drunken
amen.
Drunken sailors, what?
A drunken cook sailor? What the fuck are you talking about? First of all, an alcoholic cook the fuck out of here. On a ship in the Navy? Fuck.
So I really do love, like, I think they got a pretty good cast of characters for this, too. I mean, our main blonde seaman, he's a competent actor and a competent, not strong man, because he never knows what to do.
Yep. And then sporty guy.
Yeah. Oh, sporty guy's the best.
And,
man, those short shorts and skin-toned muscle shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. He is looking great.
Chris, I'm ashamed to say that those were my gym shorts through most of my high school. The long shorts didn't come in until around late 80s, and I was in high school early. And I hated those things, and now I know why. I'm watching movies going, mm-hmm, that's why I'd never wear shorts to this day. Those things were horrible, man.
No, and I really love the addition of them effectively locking themselves inside that refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
And this guy losing his goddamn mind.
And it was a great turn because they had set it up that he was gonna, he's the hero guy protecting everybody, but he's he gets locked in, he's fucking freaking out.
And that's what, again, I think those little touches of bringing a little bit of humanity to these characters, much like Cushing does with his exposition speech. This guy's losing his goddamn mind, and with all of the stress going on and having a legitimate phobia of being locked in a room, he loses his goddamn mind and threatens to shoot all of them. And then through accidents and happenstance, they all end up having to evacuate this shelter because they've shot a flare into it. Oh,
dude, and this movie that had so little, like I said, it was like a Fulci zombie without the gore and boobs.
Exactly.
But they managed with what little they had to not make it unintentionally comedic, because it very easily could have just been, oh, Jesus Christ, this is just so hilarious. You know, like The Room.
Yeah.
But no, they managed to put in the humanity, make me care enough about the movie to sit through it. I only had to take one break through this movie. And that's a testament to the filmmaking, because there's not a lot there. It's kind of pacey, but it's a very serviceable film. And it's, again, a great party film to have on in the background because the visuals are fun.
And I think it's very smart, especially when you know that you're going to be making a movie that might be a little bit boring because, you know, you have to fill time and not a lot that we have to do, to start it out with Brooke Adams being rescued on just a weird dinghy.
Yeah, what was that other movie that we saw a long time ago where they started at the asylum where the woman was talking?
Messiah of Evil.
Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking of,
too.
It was
giving. Yeah, I was thinking, because I couldn't remember the name of the movie, but at the beginning of the movie, I'm like, oh, Messiah Evil.
Yeah. And the makeup effects of her being just absolutely sunburnt.
Yeah.
And just having been at sea, dehydrated, and on the brink of death.
And they did the windburn. Whoever did that effect, I'm guessing it was a local, because that's where you would see it the most, where it would be that severe, is in Florida. So they probably had a tech that knew what it looked like, and it didn't cost that much to do that. And the way they intimated, you know, there's like, oh, how is she going to survive? You actually cared about her.
Uh-huh.
And then after I figured out what else I can't remember the other stuff, but when I read it, I'm like, oh, I saw that. And I'm like, oh, okay. Brooke Adams is just amazing.
Yeah.
She brought more than she absolutely needed to be. She could have just been a, you know.
And it's got one of those, like, sort of nihilistic endings, like the ending of a Texas Chainsaw. You know, the tagline of that movie being, you know, who will survive and what will be left of them. She's clearly fucked.
Yeah, because did you see her writing? And it was just, it was
over and over.
And it was going up and down and jagging. She was writing with her left hand, and it looked like she was right hand dominant throughout the movie. Not that anybody else would notice but me. But, you know, it just, I'm like, holy shit. So people were fucking bringing it. And that's really testament to the acting. And maybe the directing. Maybe the director said, oh, no, I wrote this. You know, Bobby, you can't tell Cushing anything. Mr. Cushing, is there anything else I can do for you, sir?
Yeah.
More tissues, please? Would you like, what kind of cigars? I will send our people for that. Yes, sir. So, is there anything else I can learn from you right now to make this movie better, sir?
So you just want to wear this tunic and scarf? All right. You go right ahead, sir.
But, you know, if he brought something to the actors to, you know, really breathe life into what he's doing, okay, no, I really intended for you to be stronger. Between the acting and the directing, they brought out some amazing performances with the limited dialogue they had, with the limited ability that they had, the sets that they had, and the difficulties it must have been shooting. And I like the fact that most of it was in daytime, because if the kills are underwater and it's dark out, there's no contrast. So setting it in a very brightly lit with a very dark theme, characters bright, but everything else is dark and menacing and gray.
Yeah.
Without using obvious filters and whatnot, you know. And when they came out, their tones matched, even underwater to out of water, even in bright sunlight, they had the same tones.
And the underwater acting in this is absolutely phenomenal. I don't know if ever, there may have been one or two, but hardly ever did any of these actors let even a bubble go.
Yeah.
Do you know how fucking hard that is? To not let even a bubble of air escape your body?
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous.
But I will tell you, I don't know, there are underwater performers, you know, like the mermaids. They have, like I said, you know, they do the underwater shows where it looks like shootouts. Well, they just dive down and there's a spigot. And they hold their breath as long as they can because it's like time so that you're not constantly seeing bubbles come up. And you'll see them hold their breath without losing a bubble for like 45 seconds, a minute.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, just two bubbles come out and they go back to the spigot and they go... And it's ridiculous. I've never seen... So it's... I'm guessing they have underwater performers in Florida.
Exactly.
So it's amazing use of the resources, though, if you really think about it. It's uh-huh. like, okay, where can we film where we can get hire underwater actors that's not going to cost us an arm or leg that are actually viable for what we're doing?
Yeah, and the fact that, I mean, there was no way, obviously, at this time to CG it, but they move like people underwater.
Yes.
Slowly, menacingly, and mm-hmm. they are coming to kill you.
Yep. And if you're in the water... it's a bad day for you. You could probably outrun them a minute on land,
Then the one hiding in the puddle over here is going to get you.
I was going to say, if there's any standing bodies of water on here, you might want to. Oh, you're on an island. There's probably you're fucked.
And I really enjoy the intimation that there were several of these kinds of divisions. This was just the aqua division.
Mm-hmm. That there is a desert division, an arctic division, you know.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that kind of... Maybe he thought he might make another one.
I mean, or you just use it as lore for your film. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, back then, not everything was Marvel like it is now, where not everything is, oh, well, we can start an entire cinematic universe out of these different super soldiers. No, let's just pepper in that, yeah, we had one for this, one for this, one for this. This is the Aqua Division.
Gotcha. Because 77, 78 was the year sequels started kicking.
Right.
So, just saying.
Right, but what I'm saying is that people didn't go into making films with that mindset. If it did well, then it got a sequel. But they didn't plan ahead like they do now.
Gotcha.
Or at least not as prevalently as they do now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, interesting.
Nope, not even a little bit. I got, honestly, James, I got nothing else to say about shockwaves.
Dude, I just want to say that I really kind of half-ass enjoyed this movie. And this is one of these things that if I'm real bored and I can't think of anything else to watch, I might actually watch this again.
Yeah, it's entertaining enough.
You know, or if I'm cleaning, you know, this would be a great movie to just turn on, just blast a little bit while I'm, you know, mopping floors and shit.
Yeah, so fun story too, that I was just reading random trivia shit about this. I didn't retain most of it, but I did like that Brooke Adams was supposed to appear topless in this film.
Mm-hmm.
And after discussing it with the director's wife, his wife made him get rid of that completely.
Absolutely.
To which the next year she did so for Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, that's right. Holy shit, that's her. I forgot. Oh my God.
Which, all I could think after seeing this and reading that was, good for you, Brooke Adams. don't do it for this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it for Shockwaves.
But it would have made it more Fulci-esque.
Yeah, but don't do that for Shockwaves.
No.
You need some Donald Sutherland at least.
That's right. You know, the Shockwaves, we like you just the way you are.
Because, I mean, as much as I love Peter Cushing, he doesn't pull the weight that Donald Sutherland does.
Mm-mm. Not culturally, at least.
No, not at all. Which is a goddamn shame.
Mm-mm-mm.
Shame
on us, America.
I know. I understand that he's not American, nor did he hold political office. But if we really want to replace Andrew Jackson on the 20...
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, sure... Harriet Tubman first, but if it has to be a white man, let's just say Peter Cushing.
Why Absolutely. Not? We just have to kind of fuck with the hair a little bit, you know?
So, do you, a fun story, just because, fill in time, why not? Who gives a shit? How I was saying that Peter Cushing is like the Little Richard of film.
Mm-hmm.
So I was listening to Little Richard while making tacos the other day.
Oh, Jesus.
And as soon as I turned it on, Little Richard scared the living shit out of the cat. I just thought it was a little fun story from my own personal life.
Oh, God.
Yep. So, James.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
Yeah, you got anything else to say about either Shockwaves, Peter Cushing, or Little Richard for that matter?
Oh my God, I just, bottom line, fucking, I'd say watch this movie.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, and it's a nice palate cleanser because we went through like eras of Hammer. You got to, you know, reintroduce yourself to a real Hammer.
Yep.
You got Peter Cushing. You got all kinds, you got fucking Sherlock Holmes out of this goddamn mess.
I sure did.
So you should thank Peter Cushing for this fucking whole new niche for you to be fucking with.
Hey, I have been professing my ongoing love for Peter Cushing. You know, it's a real fucking bummer if we're getting into this too.
Absolutely.
Who gives a shit? We make the rules here. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Fuck you, you bunch of animals.
Yeah, you bunch of animal.
you. any males?
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on. I cannot for the life of me find the Peter Cushing Sherlock Holmes series, even to purchase.
Yeah, I've been looking too.
I can't find it anywhere.
One of
these days, I'm hoping to find like a weird VHS, as I do have a VHR.
I am half-assed thinking of getting BritBox, seeing it out, because I love all that old British shit, and a lot of it's just locked into BBC or whatever. And it allows you to watch BBC and all the BBC in America on demand.
Hey, James.
Yes. I would never get, I would be another 6 months. I wouldn't get back out of my life, by the way.
Hey, James.
Yes.
Where can people find us? I'm finished with this one.
It's all right.
We're a stuttering fucking mess.
I'd be less.
This was a bad podcast.
I'd be less of a stuttering mess if you quit interrupting me. Yeah, fuck.
No. Where can people find us?
They can find us at horrorvomitpodcast@gmail.com.
At where?
Horror vomit podcast with the thing and the hey lady.
I'm going to keep doing this. I don't know. Fuck it. We've already flushed this one down the toilet. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Fuck you and the horse you rode in on.
This is a real goldfish of a podcast.
Yep.
Let's just twist that canary's neck and huck it out the window.
Button.
Where else can people find us?
Fuck if I know.
We have a Instagram page. We have our own little Facebook group. You can get a hold of us if you'd like to. And at any of those fine podcatchers anywhere where stars or reviews are available, if you could give us 5 stars.
Or five words.
Not for this one, though.
Get us on the algorithms, and we would prefer the words to be positive. Thank you.
Holy poopers.
Yeah, boy. Another one in the can, or the shitter, or whatever the fuck. Push the button.
Man, we started out acknowledging, I think, that this is going to be a crap-a-doodle.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with the movie. It's fine.
It is absolutely fine.
It's fine.
Watch it.
You're all fine.
Or not.
I take back calling all of you animals.
I don't. Animals.
Okay.
Push the button here.
Yep.
Yep.